Okay, let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for our time together today. Thank you so much for blessing us with this beautiful weather and great opportunity to just enjoy your beauty and getting a chance to get to know each other. Lord, bless our time together in this hour. Just help me to get my points across on budgeting. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Great. Okay, so we're hoping that someone's going to come and help us get these going. And so when we turned it back on, we lost our left one. And so we made a quick phone call like 15 minutes ago, and someone said they'd be right here. And I probably should have called them back, but I didn't. So I will go ahead and start, and we'll hope that maybe one of these pops back up. And if not, we'll see what we can do. But budgeting is, and so of course we're going to talk about budgeting, how to set up a household budget, okay? So budgeting is basically just a plan for your money, okay? What it means is you're spending with purpose before the month begins. So before the month begins, you've already laid out what expenses you have, what expenses will be coming in, and you know how much income you have. And so you've laid it all out, you've covered everything, and you know before the month starts pretty much where your money's going to go. So many people think a budget is really a straitjacket that does not allow them to be able to spend the way they want. And actually, it's really more the opposite of that. And if you talk to folks that have budgeted for at least 3 or 4 months, what you'll find is that it really gives them a freedom to spend their money. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But there's, the question is, how can budgeting really help us? And so a budget gives you an action plan and a clear picture of where your money is going to end up every month. Okay. It'll help you achieve your goals you're working toward. So whether it's just trying to get out of debt or saving for retirement or just really trying to focus on your grocery bill and just trying to get it down to where you think it ought to be, budgeting will help you with all those things. So when you see that planning a budget is simply just spending your money intentionally, knowing right where it's all going to go, it actually gives you a freedom to spend your money. And maybe an example of that might be you've laid out your budget and you know you're going to spend $100 this month for clothing. And so you know that you can go looking for the clothes you need, and you know you can spend that money, and you feel just fine about spending that money because it's in your budget and it's part of your plan. Okay. So yeah, once something's been budgeted for, you will be able to spend the money without feeling guilty. We just went over that. Many people feel like they have extra money left when they're on a budget. And then the reason for this is you have budgeted certain amount of money in several categories, which we'll be looking at hopefully pretty soon. And so you have your money laid out, and it might be a clothing budget, it might be $100, and it's, you're going to spend it for summer clothing, and then you realize, oh, summer's only going to come on one weekend this month, July 20th and 21st, and I probably don't have to spend that money on clothing. I can just use my summer clothes from last year for that weekend. So a situation could come up where you think you're going to spend money on something, and the example might be some summer clothes, and you realize, I actually don't have to do that. So now you have some money, and you can look at your priorities, and you can see where you can best use that money. Okay. What's the best way to start budgeting? And I think most people want to know, this is a pretty obvious one, but is their income greater or less than their monthly expenses? Okay, so obviously, if your expenses are greater than your income, then that's of course bad, right? That's bad. Okay, if your expenses are less than your income, that's a really good thing. Okay, and honestly, when it boils right down to it, that is really how wealth is created. The key to creating wealth is simple. It's just spending less than you earn. And I know it sounds corny, it sounds really simple, but that's pretty much how anybody that's building wealth, anybody that has worked at it for years, anyone that's wealthy, they simply spend less money than they earn. And they take that difference and they invest it. And it might not be a lot of money, we talked a bit about that this morning, but you faithfully invest it. Month, you know, this month, next month, month in, month out, year in, year out, you just faithfully invest that money. And then you'll see that nest egg grow, and you'll have it planned for your retirement, okay? So as simple as that, that's how I did it. That's how anyone in this room that's around my age has done it. It's just not an exciting process, but it works. So certainly the opposite happens when your expenses are higher than your income. So when that's the case, instead of receiving interest, you're paying interest every month, okay? So that's not a good thing. If anyone does find that for a few months in a row they're relying on their credit cards to pick up a few extra or a few $100s and you're slowly seeing that balance grow every month, Definitely come and talk to me, because it's a lot easier to sit down and maybe help you put a budget together, or if you have a budget, look at your current budget and help you see maybe where you can make some changes. But it's a lot easier the earlier you catch it. Because I've had people, they don't want to come forward. And so when the elders do maybe tap me on the shoulder, In one situation, although we really tried, it ended up actually in a bankruptcy, and that was a lot of years ago. It's really just if you come to me, it'll be like, oh great, you know, you were wise, you came early, you know, we can definitely help you with this. Really what it boils down to is, and I had a lot of very nice PowerPoint charts that were pretty straightforward and real simple. And then there was one chart where I broke all the rules, and it's real, you know, busy and got a lot of words on it. And that was the one where I was going to take you through all the budgeting categories, right out of Dave Ramsey's recommended household budget categories and percentages. And I'm just going to walk you through every one of those and talk about it, and then open it up for questions. And I'm trying to figure out maybe what we do right now, since I can't put that up. Yeah. Okay. I'll just talk you guys through it all. That sounds good. This will be really hard, but for you guys, it won't be hard for me, because I've got it right here. These are the categories that Dave Ramsey recommends. I pulled this right off of a lot of his areas of his site, and I have references if anyone wants to pull it back or pull it up, or if you can't find it out there, let me know. Okay, so the first two are his most important two. They're most critical, and he would say, if possible, do these two first. The first one is giving, and he sets aside 10% for giving, okay? And I know he's talking about tithe with that one, okay? And so that would be the goal, is to make sure that you're giving 10%. And the next one is savings, and we did talk about that this afternoon. So savings, 10% there also. That could be really hard for folks just starting out. And so it could be something that you may not be able to do for a while, but it would be your goal. It would be, as you're looking at all your other budget categories, which is the categories you've set up to record your expenses in, everything you actually spend in a month, savings would be one you would want to try to move toward 10% as soon as you could. Okay. The next one is food. Okay. So Dave includes both grocery shopping and eating out. Okay. So really what you're doing in a monthly budget, you may not have even really established your budget yet, but you're saying, okay, starting August 1st, I'm gonna track every expense that I do. Every expense I make, I'm gonna just track it by these categories. I think he's got about 10 here, okay, 10 or 12. And so you're gonna do it, and we'll talk about methods after we just really talk about understanding how a budget is set up, all right? But you could see, might even be on just a piece of paper, and you might write these down. You might write giving, saving, groceries. Next one is, that would be food. He calls it food, so I gotta be careful. Utilities is the next one, okay? So you would just have these written down on your spreadsheet, and when you spend money in those, you would literally track it under each one. You'd write it down so you could keep a tally, all right? Because you need to know where your monthly expenses are going before you can really look at them and figure out how to maybe improve upon them. And also, so you can really see if you're spending more than your income or not. Okay, so utilities, cell phone, cable internet, gas, electricity, there's water and your recycle and those kinds of things. The next one would be housing costs. Okay, so rent, mortgage, taxes, insurance, HOA costs for those folks that either have a condo or are in some type of an association. And then PMI is the mortgage insurance that you want to get rid of as soon as you can. But sometimes when you're purchasing a home, you are above that 80% where you have to, of what you owe on it, to where you have to pay that mortgage insurance. Okay, so that's housing costs. And then transportation is the next. Any and all transportation costs, including public transportation, car payment, gas, maintenance, parking, pretty much everything but car insurance. And then health. So you got your medical and health care bills, excluding health insurance, which he has in an insurance category. So it's really all your out-of-pocket health care costs. So including prescription drugs. If you were to do some over-the-counter, like a vitamin C, you just have to make a decision. You want that in food or do you want that under health? And you just make those decisions and stay with what you've decided, okay? Okay, we got the last four here. So insurance, okay, so this is life insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, renters and home insurance. Oops, renters and home insurance is placed under housing costs, okay. So he has all of your insurance under insurance, except he's decided that the renters or home insurance should be placed back under housing costs, okay. Recreation. He has quite a bit under recreation. Lifestyle expenses such as gym memberships or kids' activities, as well as entertainment expenses like concert tickets and travel. So all your travel budget, your vacation budget, would actually go under recreation. Okay. And then he has a personal spending. Okay, so that's clothes, haircuts or hair care, home furnishings, and home decor. So you would put that there, right? And then the last one is a miscellaneous account. So miscellaneous would be just weird things that come up, or basically everything that you haven't set a category for above, okay? So if you don't have a category for it and it pops up, you know, our microwave went out 2 weeks ago, so where does that go, you know? So it could either go under, I don't know if that's a home furnishing thing or if it's a miscellaneous thing. So you gotta work through some of those kinds of things, okay? So once you kind of lock in on these different categories that you want to use, and it might be best to go with these simple ones, a couple things I noticed he didn't have in here was like gifts like Christmas presents and birthday presents and all. And he might either want that to go under miscellaneous or he might have it go up in giving. I saw a couple things where he put 10 to 15% in his giving category. And so you could possibly put your nonprofit, tax deductible things in there, and then also maybe gift giving. And then one that hit me a couple days ago was actually like tuition. A lot of folks in this room are paying tuition. And that would be a category. You'd want a separate category for private Christian school education, all the cost that's going toward that. You'd want a separate category for that. Okay. But once you put that together, and once you see a full month's worth of expenditures, or maybe a little more than that, you can then compare to what Dave Ramsey recommends that you probably should be spending for each of those categories. Okay. So, and he has ranges, because I think he recognizes that certain parts of the country, things might be more expensive than other parts of the country. I think one of the toughest ones for our area would be housing costs. He has 25 to 35% of your income going to housing costs. And we have this Nextdoor website in our neighborhood, and some of you probably have the same, where you can see what's going on in your neighborhood, and people, you know, they send in questions or whatever. I saw one, someone down in Redmond was upset because their rent was being increased. Two-bedroom, one-bath apartment for $2,200. And that's a shocker for me. That might not be a shocker for some of you folks. But rents, you know, are hard. And so that's one category you really do have to watch out for. Because if you accidentally lock in on housing costs that are a much higher percent than really would fit you, then you're really going to have to look at a lot of other categories in your budget, and you're going to really have to try to pull money out of there to work your housing costs. And that could impact things like your savings and your giving and that kind of thing. So what I'll do is, this will be hard for you guys. I'm just going to run down and tell you the percentage range for each of the categories. Yeah. Gabe? Go ahead. So this would be a take home, the way I understood it. He didn't actually address taxes. And so I'm thinking this is your paycheck, take home paycheck percent, you know, like your total paycheck, just your take home, excuse me. So just your net paycheck, yeah. So he's not really talking in here. And I think it's because he wants to keep it real simple to start with. So, okay, how much do you actually have to work with in a month? You know, how much do your paychecks add up to? That's what you need to work with in this example. But thank you for asking the question, because that's a good clarification. Before I zip through these percentages, are there any other basic questions about kind of what I've talked about? Yeah, Dale, sorry, I didn't see you.
Do you have a category for savings?
So it's really this, yes, he does. So savings is the second one. I talked about the 10%.
Savings.
Yeah, so giving and then saving. And I hope that's what I said. I don't, you know. Okay, giving, saving, food. Okay, so I'll just go right down them, and I'll give you the percentages. We'll just do that. So giving is 10%, saving is 10%, food is 10 to 15%, utilities is 5 to 10%, your housing costs, like I mentioned, 25 to 35%. Transportation, which includes car payments, 10%. Health, which doesn't include your health care premium, but it would include all your out-of-pocket stuff, 5 to 10%. So for you young guys that are healthy, that might work. Insurance, 10 to 25%. And again, that was all insurances except for homeowners insurance. And the probably reason, now that I'm thinking about it, he doesn't put it in here, is because a lot of times homeowner's insurance is part of your mortgage payment. It's part of your mortgage payment, so it's hard to try to, you know, so that makes sense. All the other insurances are right here. 10 to 25% of your take-home pay would be that. Life insurance, health insurance, car insurance, yeah. And then your recreation, this includes your travel, your vacation costs. Other entertainment costs other than eating out. That's under food. That's a hard one for me. So recreation is 5 to 10%. Personal spending is 5 to 10%. Again, clothing, home furnishings, hair cuts, stuff, that type of thing. And then your miscellaneous category is 5 to 10. So you see a range in a lot of these, you know, and so you have to get it to 100%. You can't like, oh, I'm going to go with, you know, the highest range of each of these. It'll add up to more than 100%. So while you're figuring, looking at this, you can at least use the range to see if you're within that range in your actuals that you're spending each month. Okay. So again, once you track your expenses for a couple months and you see how much you're spending in each of the categories, now you can really look at that and you can establish your household budget. You could say, well, yeah, my house payment is, you know, $2,300 a month, and that's pretty simple. It's going to stay that way for a while unless real estate insurance or taxes, excuse me, go up or so forth. And so some of the things are real easy, and you know them now. Other things like food, depending on how many times you go out to dinner and that kind of thing, can fluctuate a bit. But that's the one that would be really good to look at. I'm guessing if you stop by Starbucks a few times a week, it's going to go under food. So we have an entertainment budget that if we go out to eat, if we go to Starbucks, it goes there. And maybe Starbucks would go under recreation. So again, it's just something that you guys sort through yourselves and then you just are consistent with it. You might write it down, how you do it. You can go back and look. So when that expense comes up again, that you just are consistent with it. But you establish a household budget and you want it to tie out right to your monthly income. Okay, so you want all the categories to add up to what you're bringing home. And earlier I was talking about you want your expenses to be less than your income, but you also kind of want to plug that number and ideally put it up in savings if you actually have extra money left, which would be wonderful. You want to put it. So you kind of want what they call zero budget. Your budgeted costs equal what you bring in each month. You want to know where every dollar that's going, and the leftover ones would be, you would put that in savings. Okay. So the important thing to notice about that, or about budgeting, is it could be discouraging at first, okay? But once you start working on it, you should be excited because you can get it better. Once you really start seeing where your money goes, you can actually improve things, change things, make it better. So if it seems a little discouraging to start with, it won't be, because you will be able to quickly find ways to move costs around, spend a little bit less here or there, and try to get things in line. Okay. I do hear people giving reasons why they don't budget. Okay. So, anyone can budget, right? If you can budget on a small income, you can budget on a larger income. And if you can't budget on a smaller income, you probably won't be able to budget on a larger income, okay? Because it's just it's a mindset you probably won't be able to do. But anyone can do it, regardless of their income level. People will say, well, actually, I'm in a pretty small income, and I know where everything goes. I know what all my payments are, and really, at the end of the month, I really just don't have anything left. So why budget, okay? Because I don't think I make that much to start with, and I spend what I need to spend, nothing left. So why budget? Okay, so what you're going to find is that when you actually start budgeting and figuring out really where your costs go, you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that we went out to dinner 3 times a week. You know, there's things that are going to pop up that you don't realize. And so when you really are disciplined in your categories, you actually will be able to find money, be wiser on how you spend money. That's pretty much all I wanted to hit on. Oh. I knew I just had to say those words. I should have done it earlier. This is the chart I was apologizing for. I didn't think you'd actually have to see it. And it's kind of the one that I just went over. And this, for you in the front of the room anyway, on this side, it might help. Would have helped as I was talking through everything. But we'll leave it up. You guys can be looking at it. What I would like to do is I would like to just get a show of hands on methods that people use to actually track their monthly expenses. Okay, so I happen to use Quicken software to put in, it's like the checkbook basically, to record all my expenses, my actuals, and then there's some budgeting tools in there also that I can take advantage of. How many in this room use Quicken? Okay, good. I see those hands. That's a good group of hands. Okay, what about Excel for the geeks in here? All right, got some good Excel people. Okay, very good. Are there any other methods that people do use? Yeah?
The BECU mobile banking app has a budgeting
feature inside it. Oh, so the BECU mobile budgeting app.
Mobile banking
app.
Has
a budgeting feature in it. Awesome. Have you found that helpful? Cool. Now, will it take your expenses and categorize them for you, or do you have to kind of download them? Or?
So it will track all of your expenses that are done through a BECU card of some sort. So
okay.
If we do it through a debit card or a credit card, then it will automatically grab those and put it into a ledger. And some of them it knows how to automatically categorize, but some of them you have to be like, oh, well, it doesn't know what that category is.
Nice. Okay. So the answer for those of you that may not have had a chance to hear is anything that comes through the BECU debit card or credit cards, it brings that down into pretty good categories. Certainly, there's other things that it can't figure out, and you have to help it by putting it in the categories yourself. Great. Good. Dave.
35 years ago, I started budgeting, and I used paper and pen, and I still do.
Right on. Great. A lot of us that started in the accounting industry started with paper and pen before computers were on our desk. And I know those columns. I know those spreadsheets. I've used them before. Great. Okay. So that's what you go with. Yeah. Andrew. Okay, so I heard part of that. You're saying Dave Ramsey also has, okay, and how do the actuals kind of, can you help?
So if you want to use the free version of your company, and you put them in there manually yourself, or you can subscribe to it, you can actually link your banks or credit or whatever.
Got it.
You link to it, it'll download those manually categorized.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like it might be sort of like a Quicken type thing or something.
It's probably very
yeah.
To that platform.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah.
I create
Diane.
A worksheet that tells me when the bills are due and which ones are covered by which paycheck. That way,
nice.
If something fails to come through the mail, I know to pursue it and make sure that it's paid on time.
Very good. Okay, so Diane's put a spreadsheet together. She knows exactly when the bills are going to come in, which paycheck those will hit against, and she can track those. Yeah, if they don't hit, she'll see that. Great. Thank you. Okay. So as you can see, a lot of folks here do budget. They have their own methods. People seem pretty happy with those methods. I am happy, certainly, to talk to anybody that wants to start out and budget. And you, I'm sure, would be welcome to catch any of the folks that have talked tonight and given you their methods. I guess just a few things. Yeah.
So the next step is you've created your budget, and then you need consult your budget as to whether you're going to spend money or not. Is you let the budget then constrain you. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the checking account.
Right.
The question is how much money is left in a particular budget category. And then that way it constrains your spending. If you've got a $100 budget and you've already spent $50 in that budget, well, you don't have another 100.
Right.
And so that's how you find out where your money's going, but then you allow the budget then to constrain how you make your expenses after that. So setting up a system of reviewing the budget. So Lori and I each month, Lori will go through and do a recap of the month. And then we sit down together and go over where we were over, where we were short, and it helps us know where we can't spend the next month.
Right.
It's how you actually make your budget.
No, and that's a great point. So it really doesn't matter how much you have in your checking account. You know, it might look like you have a lot or whatever, but you're comparing your actuals to what you budgeted for that month, and you're looking to see if you went over or not. If you went over, you're gonna adjust for that next month. Is that correct?
Yeah,
you're gonna adjust for that. If you went under, that's great. You have extra money in that category. You can spend that next month, or you can, do you ever move that money to another category?
Yeah, sometimes what we'll do is we'll play with the categories to move money from one category to another, because we try not to modify our budget.
Okay.
You know, we try to make the budget and keep the budget the same each month.
Right.
Sometimes you're just going to intentionally overspend something, but then we're going to intentionally underspend something else.
Right. Yep. Very good. Great. Great. Good. So I do want to open it up to either questions, or typically there's people that have had some real success stories that they would like to just give. I think there's a common sense one I'll start with, and again, it's pretty common sense. But, you know, there's obviously items that you know you need every month. You know, and toothpaste is a great example of something like that. You have a choice of either going to the drugstore or wherever and buying a tube of toothpaste every couple months, or you have a choice to buy that item in bulk, okay? And if you buy that item in bulk, and if you even plan ahead, I'm a real Costco guy, and sometimes I'll see, hey, it's $4 off this month, you know? And so you save even more. So, you know, I think, Costco has some really good toothpaste, and this is why I know, using this as an example, it came out to $2 a tube, okay? I'm gonna guess that in the store it might be $3 or $4 a tube. There are ways to save money on items you know you need. You know, it's not like, oh, hey, this color TV, I need that. It's more, you know, it's Kleenex, you know. It's real common sense stuff that we all use. We all need it pretty much daily. If you can save 15% on your food budget because you're doing things like that, that is better than a 15% gain in the stock market for the equivalent amount of money, for the simple reason that you're going to pay taxes on the gain in the stock market. And what you're working with on your budget when you save a dollar, that's an after-tax dollar. So it's, you know, I would say it's even a better investment than actually out there in the market where, unless it's in a 401k, you know, you're going to be paying taxes on that. So there are common sense things to do by buying in bulk for items that you know you're going to need, and a lot of other tips. So any other tips or comments that people want to make? Because I think we're on a roll. Yeah, Larry.
As far as when you put on your budget the 10% of savings, if you have, like, say, a 401k from your employer and you're already giving 10% and they're matching a certain thing, would that go under your budget? But that's already
Well, great question. That's a great question. So you have a 10% goal, and you're putting in six, and your employer's matching at four, as an example. That's 10%. Okay. So you would not actually plan that in your budget. Okay. That would be kind of a before pulled out of your paycheck before you actually get your net money from your employer. So although you know you see statements, you can go in, you can look at the balance, you can see how much you're putting in, those are designed where you put percentages of your income in a 401k. So that would not be a budgeted item, okay? If you're able through a 401k to put 10% aside or a combination of your income and your employer's income that's 10% or higher, you wouldn't put it in this thing, okay? Is there anyone who wants to help clarify or get me straight on that one if someone's thinking differently? Yeah. Okay, so possibly go ahead and add it. Go grab your paycheck, add that into your net pay, on top of your net pay, and then put it in there to take credit for it.
Can I just put it in under savings? You've got a category for savings, put that in there, you know what
it is. Yeah, okay. So yeah, Brett?
You got more than one kind of savings. You know, you're gonna save for retirement, but you also wanna have some savings for emergency funds or something like that. So maybe instead of shooting for 10%, you shoot for some shorter number. If you're already putting money away for retirement, is trying to build up something that's an emergency, you know, a liquid fund. You don't have to pay penalties to get into it.
Yes, okay, great. So it could be that that's a 2% or a 3%, you know, that you're also saving, and it's more for your short-term or emergency funds, that kind of a thing. Roger.
As far as that goes with a 401k, when there's company matching, typically, I know Dave Ramsey says it this way, that don't count the company matching as far as what you're putting into your savings. Count the amount that you're putting in there, and just kind of consider that as return on investment, is whatever the company's putting in. Just kind of helping the discipline side of things.
Okay, good. So basically, so what Roger's saying is, you know, you might be putting in 6%, your employer's matching or putting 4 in. Try not to focus on the 4, even though it's going in there. See if you can arrange your budget so you can get that higher than 6, maybe, or at least budget it as 6.
Yeah, budget it as
6. As 6. Okay. Yeah. Good. Joy. Okay, so you have friends coming into town or family coming into town, or you just want to bless your friends or family, and so you're going to be spending some money there. And where is that one up here? Okay, so if that is something that does occur regularly, you're either very popular or from a big family or whatever, and you do find that that's a pretty major expense, one you really want to track and watch, you'd want a separate category for something like that. You could potentially put it up under recreation, which is kind of also a where your vacation costs go. But if things don't really fit there, so this is like Dave Ramsey's simple budget, okay? And what you would want to do with something like that is set up a separate category to track those costs and budget to those costs, so you don't, you know, get to, you know, have, you know, so you're not too generous or stingy, however, you know, that you really hit what the level you want to hit at. Does that make sense? A separate category for that? I would definitely do that. Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of a personal decision. As far as your tithe goes, should you put your tithe against your net paycheck or the gross paycheck? That's a personal decision. The only thing I would say would be think through why you're going to do it either way. And yeah, pretty much think through which way you're going to do it and have a reason, but... Brett, is there anything you want to add to that? Is it?
I think that's about right. But I consider my tax bill to be just like my energy bill. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that the U.S. government has the right to take it out of my paycheck before I see it, mm-hmm. I just treat it as a bill. And so mm-hmm. I tithe off gross.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the scriptures, if a farmer had a plot and of corn and a third of it got eaten by locusts, he tithed off the two-thirds. Mm-hmm. So you could consider part of your tax bill like locust food. You know, that's not
people do.
True. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, me personally, I consider my tax bill to be just like any other bill. And the fact that they get to take it out first doesn't set it aside from being just another bill. And so I consider the gross that I've been given by the Lord. You know, you're tithing on the increase that God gives you. And just make a comment about that real quick. You don't tithe on cattle. Okay? So a farmer with an orchard didn't cut down a tenth of his trees. He tithed off the increase of the trees. It's the fruit of God's calling you to tithe off of the increase. You don't cut down a tenth of your house or a tenth of your, you don't burn a tenth of your land or whatever, is you're tithing on the increase of that. And and from that increase, then all of your expenses are paid. And I think the tax bill is just another expense, despite the method that's been set up by the United States for collecting that debt. So.
Okay. Larry.
Well, another thing is, I would think gross as well, because if you do are gross, you're going to be a tax deduction off your tithing as well, as far as the church, the deduction for your taxes anyway. Right? So,
yeah, I'm not.
You know, so let's say you pick 10% off your gross, and you declare that as a deduction, you're you know, that's 10% that you're going to be able to deduct off your taxes as well. So you're getting a benefit.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Yeah. For every dollar you tie that. Rules have changed a little bit, so it's a pretty high amount these days. But yeah, you get that correct. Yeah.
Back to the categories. Here. Is there such thing as having too many categories? Can you get too granular in the way you track?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can. I think you can really bog yourself down if you get so many categories that here's a category I haven't even used it in 3 months, you know, but when my microwave went out and we had to run to Costco and pick one up, a temporary one, till we got our new, you know, built-in one, I created this new category because I couldn't figure out where to put it, or whatever the reason. You're absolutely right. You know, this is a simple one and maybe a great place to start. And then when you come up with good examples of like, oh, I really should track this thing, you know, it's at least 5% of my monthly budget or whatever. You put that, you set aside categories for those types of things, but you definitely don't want to get, and that's a really good point. You don't want too many categories. I think it could kind of wear you out when you're you know, trying to work through that every month, trying to track things. That's a really good point, right? Okay, now any other great advice, like my toothpaste advice?
I've learned this from my dad, which is really helpful, is to budget for, it's just a good tip of entertainment stuff, budget for things that you want to have in a do. So I like bringing flowers home for my wife regularly, so I have a category for that kind of thing. Then I'm just planning for that regularly.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Right. And that allows you, gives you the freedom to do that, because it's budgeted and you have basically set money aside for that. Yeah. Well, let's talk about fun money, okay? I don't know, Dave probably has recreation. You know, Barbara and I each have set aside a bit of money each month that, you know, is fun money. We can do with whatever we want. Is that something that some of you guys also do? Yeah, okay. So I didn't see that in Dave's. That might be that's a category, Eric, that you would use every month. it's fun to spend some of that. So that probably would be a good one to put in. I think it does give a little more freedom for people to know that they have 50 or 100 or whatever it is that you can pull off. Money, you can get the cash, put it in your wallet, you can spend it wherever you want. Might even be flowers or something. But it's what you decide and no one else has to worry about it. That can also sort of be a freeing thing when you're budgeting and when you're sort of feeling like every dollar you're spending is tracked and everyone's going to look at it and go, ah. You know, to have some money, fund money, or there's a lot of terms for it. That's good. Okay, anything else before we close? Yeah, right, Ben.
There's a question.
Yeah.
I noticed they're all percentages, and this is Dave Ramsey's recommendation. I imagine these are really people who are struggling to make it. But at what point does percentages become kind of ridiculous? Like, say, ambitious young kids who are going to be working in the tech sector. What, at some point, 10% household, like, is it going to be $1 million, $2 million?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stop?
Great. Right. Yeah, great question. So these percentages are sort of guidelines for folks that are budgeting to look at to see how far they might be out of what kind of the average, the norm is spending in that area. So, you know, some tech guy that just graduated from University of Washington in computer science and all of a sudden he's making $100,000 a year, okay, or more. He or she, some of these categories, the giving and the savings could be much higher, okay? They might still be living at home, right? So, you know, what do you really do with those percentages? And that's a great point. These percentages are kind of more of guidelines for kind of your average person that's struggling and trying to figure out where they should focus their energy on. Yeah. Jeffrey.
One of the ways that I think of these percentages is that they're one-way elastic, so they will stretch, but only in one direction. You never want to stretch savings less than 10%. But if you can stretch it more, that's even better. Similarly, you don't want to stretch personal spending beyond 10%, but if you can stretch it less, that's mm-hmm. better. So you mm-hmm. can stretch it, but only stretch it one way.
Right.
And that's depending on whether it's something that you want to have more of mm-hmm. or want to have less of, generally.
Yeah, great way of looking at it. Yeah. And of course, if you're young and pretty mobile and all, and you realize that, oh my, housing is 70% or 60% or something, grab a roommate or find, you know, you're mobile, you're young, you know, find a way to quickly cut those costs down as soon as you can, you know. Good point, Jeffrey, on looking at these things as these percentages kind of one way. So good question. Yeah, Bakes.
I highly recommend setting up a habit of getting together and talking about it. Mm-hmm. If you're a married couple, just create a habit of going over your budget together
mm-hmm.
and talking it through.
Right. That's a great point. Great. Anything else? Okay. I did throw a summary sentence together. I'll read it here, and then we'll close in prayer. So if you're budgeting, great. If you're married, be sure both are on the same page. Set goals and work toward meeting them. If you are not budgeting, start now. And then I'd be happy to help you get started. And then also you'll want to set goals and it'll be fun when you reach them. Okay, so just a few little things I jotted down. And Brett's point is great. If you're married, you really need to be on the same page. You need to be in agreement with the categories, how much you're going to spend. Because you're forward looking. You're planning ahead of your month. So that you know where that money is going to go. Great. Okay, anything else before I close? Great, okay. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for how blessed we are as a people. We might be struggling over a few dollars here or there, but all in all, we are so blessed. Bless the rest of our time together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.